Yeah, like it's sort of capitalism's fault that communism, if they just gave communism a chance, come on, man, just give them a chance.
And that's and that's exactly where why he then brings up, and he's like, well, look at South Korea, look at Japan, look at these other places. Like, they were able to fully develop, and because they decided to make decisions at the institutional level that allowed them to become advanced economies. And he's basically saying,
but they didn't they didn't make their own decision. The US went in there and wrote their constitution.
Oh yeah, he did say the US was very heavy-handed in Japan, but not in South Korea.
Definitely.
But they were. They fought a war there.
They did fight a war there, but they didn't.
South Korea is a military base.
But they didn't.
And then the fucking military ran it for the next 30 years.
That's true. I don't know the history of who was like who was pulling the strings behind the curtain. But I think the point is,
we say that we didn't even mention this, but Francis Fukuyama was a consultant at the Rand Corporation.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And it's an imperial consulting firm. In case you haven't heard of it. A shadowy think tank in Santa Monica, California, unquote.
No, but okay,
they
but
became
just
private, so they wouldn't have to respond to freedom of information requests. And I know that's an ad hominem argument, but I don't even need to make the ad hominem argument in this case because the pattern's the same. Chile, South Korea, you install a military junta. The military junta kills all the socialists and all the liberals. And then after that, you say, okay, now we can have an election. Now, that's the real story. It's not this spread of the ideas of liberalism.
Look, again, I just want to be really clear that I'm not agreeing with him. I'm just trying to reconstruct what his argument is. And I'm just saying that I think his whole story about why those countries, why the Marxist theory of like developmentalism, that basically, oh, like the reason these third world countries don't develop and don't become is because like the capitalists want to hold them down. He's using South Korea as an example. No, actually, like, the capitalist countries very much want these countries to get developed, and every opportunity that they can, they will help them get developed. And look, here's examples of how successfully the quality of living can increase in countries that decide to make these decisions. So it's not that like capitalists are trying to hold these countries back. If anything, they want to help them develop up to this point. And those are examples. And often the reasons that countries don't is because of internal corruption in institutions and stuff like that. So I'm not saying he's right. I'm just saying that's what he means. That's what the point I was trying to get across of what he was saying.
I can't get past the fact that for him, this is all an ideas conflict. Like, South Korea had good ideas. That's why they won. Not because they were a bitch state and they were right next to, you know, the USSR. So they serve as a good military base.
I don't think it's exactly ideas. It's implementation of institutions. Is that the same as ideas? I don't know.
Listen, like, Cameroon would have taken South Korea's deal, but the West is not interested in Cameroon because it's not next to the USSR.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
It's not an ideal. It's not an ideal conflict.
Well, I mean, is Singapore right next to everything? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you
Singapore
can give.
Singapore is in the middle of the biggest shipping lane in the world.
That's true.
Well, the materialist argument that he tries to distinguish from is that, you know, we're familiar with the Marxist stage theories, right? Like, feudalism gives way to capitalism, gives way to socialism. And, oh, this is what he calls the strong form of the direction of universal history argument. He says, you know, feudalism inevitably, to quote him here, feudalism inevitably gives way to capitalism, which inevitably collapses from its own internal contradictions and gives way to socialism, and so on. So for him, that's a deterministic theory. For him, the role of economic development, you know, technology, production, all the stuff, you know, shipping lanes, logistics, all that stuff, is that it leads to stability. So if you have shitty development, you're not going to have a stable democracy, I guess, which is going to make the idea of democracy look less appealing. But when you have high levels of growth and economic development, then that provides the ground for stable democracy to develop. Whereas if you have authoritarianism in the midst of good economic development, then I guess chances are you're going to have a much less equal distribution, which then maybe on the other hand is going to make economic development look unappealing or pointless when there's no distribution mechanisms to make that growth tangible to the average person. I mean,
yeah,
I'm spitballing. I'm not talking about my deepest beliefs here. I'm just trying to sort of get my head around this
yeah,
part.
Same. I'm also really just trying to get clear on what Fukuyama is trying to say here. I don't know, because it does seem like he's trying to say that, well, again, this is just responding right to this view that, oh, the reason why a lot of countries are, it's because purposely capitalists want to hold them back. And he's kind of saying like, no, that's not really true at all. That like, they would love it for these countries to have institutions that could transform. And he would say that there's a track record of countries that have done that. And I don't know. I mean, I hear what you're saying, Pills, but I don't know if it's, I mean, is it just, could you just reduce it down to like, oh, well, you know, for strategic reasons, that's why they helped, you know, South Korea or
I do reflexively believe that, though, that economics is holding them down and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. They beat the shit out of them. Then they say, look how they've failed. It becomes just like a self-fulfilling. I mean, I tend to just reflexively kind of believe that. But I mean, he's saying that that's not the case. Okay, I'm going to hear him out then. What is really the case here?
Well, I'm not an expert in this economic stuff, and I don't want to pretend to be, but I feel like I'm right about it, and that's half the battle. So one of the ways that Europe, for example, controls Africa, for example, is through cash crops, which is to say, you know, you can grow the cash crops there, and we'll pay you for it. And then we're going to refine it. So we're going to refine the coffee up here. We're going to refine the chocolate and make our good chocolate up here. And then the second that Africa, I think this happened between either Britain and Ghana or Belgium and Ghana. They're like, okay, if you want to sell your chocolate up here, that's okay. But, you know, the import tariffs are going to be 1,000%. So, you know, you might as well just make cash crops because we're not going to let you profit from refined goods because we want to do the refining because that's where all the money is. And this is a mechanism of control that's existed between Europe and Africa since Europe and Africa started interacting at all. And to have the gall to say that liberal capitalists just want liberal capitalists to succeed everywhere, I mean, it's patently bullshit.
Well, it's got to be both. I mean, there's a reason why, like, the United States and other powers didn't want to help communist countries, nominally communist countries, right? Because it was there's a financial incentive that they don't want that to succeed. I mean, that's, of course, that's right. But
bro, they have no problem supporting illiberal states, Saudi.
And I don't even think that Fukuyama would necessarily dispute that. In fact, at one point he says that, but he would say, like, insofar as a country is willing to play by these rules and has, like, you have reason to show that their institutions are stable and non-corrupt, then yeah, I think that he says there's going to be, like, tremendous opportunity to grow. And you know, he points to the economic miracles of the Asian countries or whatever as evidence of that being the case. If the institutions are there and viable, then it is very possible to make a dramatic growth of economic growth and high standards of living.
It's a myopic understanding of history. The ideas were better, and that's why it won. Not that there was hegemonic control of the U.S. and its Marshall Plan allies over the entire globe.
Well, is that what I'm saying, though? I'm not saying that
I'm not saying you're saying that. Yeah. I'm just saying it's not in the book. I searched for Bretton Woods in the book. It doesn't appear, seems to me to be kind of important.
Well, he's definitely opted for an economic theory that's non-Marxist. Like, his part of this whole, I mean, this rejection of Marxism here is also to reject, like, the labor theory of value. It's to adopt, you know, marginalism and utility maximization theory as the basis of your economic theory, which already puts you at odds with Marxism. So there's a certain, like, outer frame to this argument that's not quite visible, but it's there, right? Like, if you think that, you know, the labor theory of value and the exploitation of surplus, the appropriation of surplus value is kind of the motor that drives capital growth and the valorization of capital, then you'd have a very different take on this, right? You'd just be already starting as a skeptic. Whereas if you're, like, looking at marginalism through the lens of economic marginalism theory and utility and the kind of subjective demand side, then you'd think, oh, well, then now he's got a good point. Yeah, Marxism is bad. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even with his liberal elections things, like, to forget for a second all the states the U.S. either soft interfered with or hard interfered with, But America itself, like the Democratic Party getting Truman in there to block out Wallace, who is like far more of an internationalist because of state bureaucratic interests. He would just call them rational interests. Mm. But the DOD and the CIA and the private interests that all overlap there, it's wallpapered over by just saying Democratic West. Not even to mention all these conflicts within it. So I don't, like, whatever.
It's a very undemocratic way of preserving democracy.
Yeah,
which,
I mean, I agree.
Which is
that
kind of contradictory.